This podcast is brought to you by Howie's Store. Save 50% on restaurants, hotels, and more. To order, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Democrats don't want to get stuck on a slippery slope towards a final vote on a bill that they don't agree with.
There's also a lot of political gamesmanship and, to be frank, a lot of frustration. Senate Republicans repeatedly come to the floor and lambast Democrats.
All of a sudden, they start throwing all of the little Green New Deal stuff in, the boardrooms, what they look like.
In all, this bill uses the words diverse or diversity more than 60 times. What does it have to do with a pandemic that might kill you?
Shame on you. If you got a family member who is suffering, do you really think now's the time to impose same-day voting?
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
An Arizona man has died after attempting to self-medicate chloroquine phosphate, believing it would protect him and his wife from the coronavirus. After watching President Trump talk about the potential benefits of chloroquine during one of his televised White House briefings.
Very fake news.
The president has been talking about chloroquine in a tablet form, which is a malaria drug. So this particular form of it that he took was used to kill parasites in fish, apparently.
Ooh! Well, you should always read the label!
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Are you at all concerned, as Trump said, that we cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself?
Sleepy Joe Biden said,
we have to take care of the cure. That will make the problem worse no matter what. No matter what.
I don't know if he knows what that means, but that's okay.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Is everything cool with you and Dr. Fauci?
You know, they have other things to do.
That is really unfortunate. I would wish that that would stop. He's never countered or overridden me. The idea of just pitting one against the other is just not helpful. I wish that would stop and we'd look ahead.
You know, I don't think they should be at every news conference.
You're good. That's the point.
Yeah, we're fine. We're fine.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
So you see the situation he's in now, the president? They think they've got him right where they want him. If he opens up the economy, the country, and ends the national emergency and tells people they can go back to work on Easter, after Easter, then anybody who dies, that will be on his head. You think it's bad that he's being blamed for these people in Arizona who ate the fish tank cleaner? He's being blamed for that. He'll be blamed for everybody who dies. Everybody. You get killed by an illegal alien. It'll have something to do with coronavirus if you're watching MSNBC or CNN. On the other hand, if he keeps the country shut down, if a lemonade stand run by an 8-year-old goes out of business, that will be his fault because he will be overreacting. This is going to be the ultimate. He can't win for losing. I mean, I'm sure he's going to get out of it, but I'm just telling you, this is the situation, the no-win situation that they're trying to set up for the president of the United States. If you didn't see it today, he had a town hall on coronavirus at the White House with Fox News, and he finally came out with a date and said he wants to have the country back to work by Easter. And I'm sure most of the people on CNN and MSNBC don't grasp the larger context of that. You know, Easter rising from the dead. You know, one of the janitors will have to explain that to all the anchors on CNN and MSNBC about that Christian theology, because they're not that familiar with it. Just like they're not that familiar with math or the number of states. Just ask Barack Obama or the language they speak in Austria. All right. 844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show if you would like to join us here this afternoon, every weekday afternoon. And we got a jam-packed day, as always, here during the midst of this problem that we're all confronting and that we're all trying to get through it as best we can. I hope you're staying safe and taking precautions such as they are. But anyway, we will be taking calls, and we've got a lot planned throughout the course of the afternoon. But I think we should really start with the just to see how bad it is in terms of how they're trying to blame everything on Trump. These you know by now the story of the guy in Arizona, the couple in Arizona, who were watching TV, and they heard the president talking about this drug, and so they saw the words that were somewhat similar to the drug he was talking about, which was chloroquine. But there's a fish tank cleaner that it's an additive used to clean fish tanks. And so they somehow confused the two things. And this guy and his wife took the fish tank cleaner and ingested it. The man died and the woman got very sick. So, of course, it's Donald Trump's fault. I'm just looking at the lead here. This is NPR. Again, you're paying for this. I'm paying for this. National Panhandler Radio. An Arizona man is dead and his wife was hospitalized after the couple ingested a form of chloroquine, a chemical that has been hailed recently by President Trump as a possible game changer in the fight against the coronavirus. But he didn't tell them to take chloroquine phosphate, which is an additive commonly used at aquariums to clean fish tanks. And then the NPR, National Panhandler Radio, helpfully points out the aquarium additive the couple ingested is not the same as the medication that has been used to treat malaria. Oh, okay. But they just went after this, and they all said this over and over again. So let's go to the sound cuts here, just so you could see it. This is MSNBC basically blaming Trump for this guy being dead. Cut 9.
Please turn up the volume for this. An Arizona man has died after attempting to self-medicate chloroquine phosphate, believing it would protect him and his wife from the coronavirus. The man's wife is currently in critical condition, and she tells NBC News that she and her husband decided to take the additive after watching President Trump talk about the potential benefits of chloroquine during one of his televised White House briefings.
He didn't talk about the benefits of chloroquine phosphate. Please turn up your set for this. Okay, here's NBC News.
An Arizona man has died after he took chloroquine phosphate because he believed that it would protect him from the coronavirus. You may recall the president has been talking about chloroquine in a tablet form, which is a malaria drug, which he believes could in fact help people who are struggling with the coronavirus. We talked to this man's wife, who is now also in the ICU, about how and why he took this particular chloroquine phosphate.
Did you see the president's press conference? Where did you hear about?
Yeah, we saw his press conference. It was on a lot, actually.
And then what? Did you seek out chloroquine?
I had it in the house because I used to have koi fish.
So this particular form of it that he took was used to kill parasites in fish, apparently.
So, did the president tell her, take some of the stuff that is used to clear out your aquarium and eat some of it, even though I'm sure it says poison on the box? Go ahead and eat some. Did he say that? I don't believe he did. Axios blamed him flat out. They put out a tweet, and they had to delete the tweet finally. But, I mean, this is what he's up against here. I mean, this is ridiculous. How is this his responsibility? This was like saying, who was it, Jim Jones, who fed everybody Kool-Aid? That's like, are the makers of Kool-Aid responsible for all the followers of Jim Jones who killed themselves because they put poison in the Kool-Aid? I mean, come on. But, anything. And it's like the Democrats with this bill, relief bill. They've jammed it full of everything. We told you a lot about the stuff that they jammed through it, but it's worse than that. They want to legalize vote harvesting. This vote harvesting is just a new form of voter fraud. They stole maybe as many as 7 seats from the Republicans just in the state of California with voter harvesting. That's they go to the nursing homes and they grab all these ballots and fill them in and then just take them to the store. There were 3 or 4 Republicans won on election day in 2018 in California, mainly Southern California. And as the days went by, they just kept bringing in more and more ballots, 99% of which were Democrats from the nursing homes. They knocked off, they have such a great need to celebrate diversity. They knocked off at least one Korean-American woman, a Republican, with a white guy just because he was a Democrat and she was a Republican. And they basically, stole the election from her. 844-500-4242. 413 says, I can't believe Trump took the shutdown bait. So sad. He's toast. What was he going to do? What were his options at that point? He had to do something. I think he's doing the best he can, and there's still a chance that he can turn this around. I mean, it's not, I don't think it's irredeemable yet, but it's difficult. He's in a tough spot, but this is better than the Russian hoax. This is better than the Ukrainian hoax. I mean, there's at least a smidgen of reality to this, even though you could just say it's just a form of the flu. There are people at risk here, as opposed to, the Ukrainian and Russian scams were totally bogus. 844-500-4242. 781, fish tank cleaner. That's like drinking Drano to flush out your system. Talk about Darwinism running its course. I know, but again, I mean, they have a chance to blame it on Trump.
It's like, so, if Trump said dihydrogen monoxide, it's water, it's very good for you, and somebody goes out and says, ooh, hydrogen peroxide, that kind of sounds the same, let's drink that.
I've never seen these. I don't have a fish tank, so I've never seen this fish cleaner, this tank cleaner. But I'm pretty sure that everything now has skull and crossbones on it. I've seen things where they have a nail gun has a picture on it, and you're putting a stick figure is putting the nail gun to his head, and there's an X through it. So they tell you, don't put the nail gun to your head. I'm guessing the same warnings apply on that container of fish cleaner. But we're not going to we don't want to talk about that because tend to exonerate the president of the United States for the blood on his hands for the dead man. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Show.
This is Karen from Billerica, Massachusetts.
This is Adrian in Swanton, Vermont.
This is Miss Susan up in Warner, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by MyCube's Survival Safe. If you missed last week's cheap bastard deal, MyCube is taking $200 off while supplies last, and that includes free shipping as well. To order, go to HowieCarrShow.com and click on the MyCube banner. This is just what you need to keep your gun, your ammo, and your cash safe right now. MyCube. That's the name. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the MyCube banner. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will America be open for business by Easter?
I think so, yes.
68% say we'll be open.
Okay. 844-500-4242. 8816 says the fish tank cleaner has a huge label that says not for human consumption. The two people who ingested that stuff are, well, they're, well, let's not speak ill of the dead, but yeah, I know. Well, one of them's dead and the other one's sick. 844-500-4242. 407 says twice as many people have died from eating fish tank cleaner than for in the back seat of Rose Kennedy's old car. That's true. You know, just because something has a name like something else, there's various kinds of lime, you know. There's lime that they that is used to make bodies decompose faster. They used to use, Whitey Bulger and Stevie Flemmy used to use it when they were burying people in the graveyard. And then there's the kind of lime that they put out on football fields to mark the 10-yard lines and the sidelines and the end zones. And there was a guy who became a legislator in Massachusetts, and he confused the two limes, and he put out the burning lime on Thanksgiving Day, and they started playing football, and all of a sudden all the high school players were rolling down on the field because they were being burned as they fell down on the lime. I mean, you got to pay attention. 844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. And Paul, the UPS guy, adds, don't you need a prescription for the drug that Trump was talking about? Yeah, we went over this. We're going to have Dr. DeLone on again in a few minutes. And we asked him last week about this. And said, I said, can I buy this over the counter? Yeah, you know, I would go to the drugstore, the supermarket, after the show that night, I would have bought some. But you can't. It's a rough drug. It's not something you should. I mean, it has side effects, is what I mean. So you gotta take it easy. But you know, if it works, it works. And that's what the president was saying. You know, he doesn't know if it's going to work or not. But they're supposedly delivering some to New York State. So we should know pretty quickly whether it works. 844-500-4242. Let's take a call or two here. Russ, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Russ.
You know, Howie, it has to be Rush. It has to be Trump's fault because he never told these fools that you don't buy medicine for humans in a pet store, for starters, okay?
And what are the words not for human consumption mean? I mean, you can interpret that any way you want, right? It could mean this will cure you of coronavirus, right?
And you know, Howie, what really gets me, unlike the World War One and World War Two generation, today fear rules the day. It is really disgusting when you look back in history on how the people survived these great pandemics, and they didn't fear, they just pushed on.
Yeah. I know. Maybe they should have taken more precautions during the Spanish flu pandemic of 1919, but they didn't. And a lot of people died, and some of us still remember hearing stories about our distant ancestors who passed on. But it didn't shut the country down, did it? Thanks for the call, Russ. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Let's put it in a different context. You can drink alcohol. Most people do drink alcohol occasionally, at least. You don't drink rubbing alcohol. You don't want to drink wood alcohol either. Oh, man. 844-500-4242. Last week we had on Dr. Brett DeLone. He was on with Russia's fill-in last week, and he was really a very informative physician. He's a general surgeon from Camp Hill, PA, and we had him on. wanted to have him on just to check in and see how he thought things were going. He's a very informative guy. Dr. DeLone, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Oh, Howie, thanks for having me back.
So where do you think we're at today? You think it's realistic for the president to say today that he'd like to lift the national emergency and get the country back by Easter, which is, I guess, less than 3 weeks away?
I think that's pretty optimistic. Maybe deciding on Easter might be a better plan. I will tell you that initially in this country and many places, there was a failure of imagination to imagine what was happening in China, to move to Italy, to move here. And now I think our patience is being tested. The idea of suppressing the transmission of this virus over a period of weeks by social isolation and sort of shutting the country down will work if we're patient enough to let it play out. So I'd like to see the president listen to his medical advisors rather than his business and economic advisors and give this a chance. It's not going to take months, but he's going to need that time between now and Easter and to think about how it's going and what's happening in places like New York and maybe soon Boston in terms of the stresses on the hospitals and the ICUs and the healthcare system.
Right, but there are huge swaths of the country where this doesn't appear to be a problem, even in places like Italy. I mean, it seems to be there's not much going on in Sicily, but there is in the northern part of Italy. And it's the same thing here. You know, we got a problem in New York, obviously, in Washington State, but Montana or West Virginia, there's very few cases in those states, right?
Well, that's true, but there are very few people in those states. So some of it you have to measure per capita. So, for instance, the place in the country that I feel like is going to be a problem very soon is, in fact, New Orleans and Louisiana, where the per capita rate is going up and the number of cases is skyrocketing because of travel. Because, unfortunately, Mardi Gras happened at a very bad time in relation to this epidemic. Mardi Gras happened, so there were people there with the coronavirus who didn't know it at a time when we weren't looking for it, and New Orleans is going to be the next big hotspot. So the governor of Florida has said, if you come from New York and New Jersey, you must self-quarantine for 2 weeks as you come to Florida. If we release our travel restrictions, if we release our lockdowns, all of these infections are going to move around the country as people become more mobile again.
Well, I mean, the numbers coming down to Florida from New York are just staggering. I mean, I think the number that I read today was up to 40,000 a day from New York, just down to the state of Florida. It's a big state, obviously, and so is New York. But still, that's tough to absorb any number of people like that. Now, what about the anti-malarial drugs? Now, I think the president said last night that he was sending 10,000 doses to New York City, and that they could start giving them out, and we might have some kind of maybe not clinical trials, but again, to use Dr. Fauci's words, anecdotal evidence about whether or not the anti-malarial drug is working or not. How do you think that's going to go?
I'm rooting for it. The anecdotal evidence is promising. We've got a lot of different antiviral medicines that are being tried really in every hospital and every system in the country, partly depending on evidence, which is thin, and partly depending on availability. The good thing about the anti-malarial drugs, primarily Plaquenil, is it's inexpensive, it's widely available, and it's pretty safe, although the dosages for COVID-19 are dramatically different than the malarial doses. So it has a higher risk profile because you're getting closer to toxic doses when you use that drug for this than you do for malaria.
Right. We talked about this last week, and I asked you if it was over-the-counter or prescription, and you said it is prescription. But, you know, some people can get their hands on prescription drugs and then abuse them. So this is a pretty tricky drug. This is a rough drug, isn't it, to be taken without your physician's guidance, right?
So, as you mentioned, it's a prescription drug in the United States, but in Africa, chloroquine, which is a close cousin, is an over-the-counter drug. And there have been numerous incidences of people killing themselves by overdosing on chloroquine. So it's very important that nobody get a prescription and get a handle on these drugs without having a conversation with a physician about exactly how to take it. There's no FDA-approved dosing regimen, and this drug has cardiac risks, among others, that people need to be aware of.
Okay, so just watch your step. Even if you open the medicine cabinet and see for whatever reason in the medicine cabinet,
there are people taking it for lupus and other things too. So it's available for things beyond malaria.
Right, right. So what would you recommend to people? I mean, you know, the thing about the president obviously wants to get people back to work because there is this the fact that the economy is in free fall right now. I mean, the stock market's up today, but it's down 20-30% over the last couple of weeks. I mean, we have to get it's now become a cliche to say, but can't the cure be worse than the disease at some point?
It depends on what you're measuring. To my way of thinking, the most important thing is saving lives. I'm not an economist. I'm not a business guy. If we can just be patient for a few extra weeks, the number of papers being published on coronavirus research is dozens a day. The amount of information we have available to us, the number of ventilators we have available to us, the number of masks we have available to us, the number of rooms we have in our hospitals will all be greater if we can be patient and let this virus be suppressed for a while as we get past this first peak. That's, to me, it's about patients and lives. I know there's an economic cost. The economy will be fine later. We can rebuild it later. While this is mostly a disease of older people, young people are going to suffer and die if we don't take care of them properly.
We're talking to Brett DeLone. He's a general surgeon in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania. And what would you tell people? And another problem here is that a lot of people who are middle-aged or younger, they have relatives, parents or grandparents in nursing homes, and they can't get to see them. And this is a bad thing for the elderly as well. If they're cut off from their loved ones, aren't they? I mean, it's a question of whether they're not going to be exposed to the disease or not. But what do you tell people at this point, that older people especially, that can't see their younger relatives?
This is where technology comes to the rescue. FaceTime, Facebook, chats, just using your cell phone and talking to them over the phone. This is the solution to that problem. I know social isolation, the loneliness and depression are part of the problem here, especially among the elderly. But the elderly, and especially in nursing homes, this is the vulnerable population we're most trying to protect right now. If you're young and you've been about, leave your grandparents out of it.
What about the fact that California's got a terrible problem, obviously, because they have 40 million people, for one thing, but they also have a lot of homeless people. And, I've seen stories saying, how come they're not telling us how many of the coronavirus victims are actually homeless people whose immune systems are shot to hell because of drugs or alcohol or just general tough living? Do we know the numbers of homeless people that are coming down with this?
No, that's a devilishly hard thing to count, and some of our information is so new. I mean, think how different things are now than they were a week ago or 2 weeks ago. So a lot of this information we're going to have for you in 3 months or 6 months, but trying to count it in real time, devilishly difficult.
Yeah, but I mean, again, the economy, though, that's the problem. If we go into a depression, I mean, I don't want to be, gloomy Gus or Nervous Nelly, but there's going to be a long term price to be paid if we shut the economy down for months as opposed to weeks.
I don't think it'll be months. I really think that from the beginning of the president's 2 week period, for a total period of 4 to 6 weeks, will probably be enough to get us through the first peak. So I don't think we're talking about months. And I do think that if you don't do that, I mean, honestly, I think the difference is, we're talking about a death toll in the tens or hundreds of thousands if we do the suppression versus the millions if we don't. It's that big a difference.
Is this worse than swine flu?
Oh, yes. Not even, no comparison. This is the worst thing since 1918 Spanish influenza. That's the closest historical corollary. I know you're a history guy. The mortality rates are similar. The transmission rates may be similar. That's a little hard to measure. 700,000 Americans died between 1918 and 1920 from the Spanish influenza. I'm sorry, 700,000, and more than 50 million people worldwide. This is a similar experience we're having right now.
But so why are the fatalities so minor compared to swine flu?
Because where we are on the curve. So we're still on the flat part of the curve heading up. We haven't reached the mid part of the curve or even the first quarter of the curve. Now, China's on the far part of the curve. Korea's on the far part of the curve. Italy is you know, just at or near the peak. But this virus is like a time machine. And you can tell where you are based on epidemiology and rates of infection. And we are not as far along the curve as you might think. And that's why the swine flu numbers seem different. But that's because that's in retrospect. That's numbers we're going to have on this disease in 6 months or 12 months.
Where would you tell people to go to get the best possible information about this online?
I would tell them to go to the CDC website, that's cdc.gov, or I would tell them to go to the Department of Health websites in their individual states. After that, you're in Massachusetts, so you might go to the Brigham or Harvard's websites, the big tertiary and quaternary care centers' websites. Those are going to be the areas to go to first for information regarding how they should behave, if they should call the doctor if they get sick rather than heading right over to the doctor's office or the ER. Those are the sources of information that are most valuable.
Would you say any of the states are overreacting, or are they acting appropriately?
No. I think I'm not a fan of his politics, but I think Governor Cuomo has done a good job, and I don't think there's a single state in the union that's overreacted.
Okay. Dr. Brett DeLone, we really appreciate you being with us. You're a great source of information, and I would assume you're a really good talk show host based on how you handle yourself on the air, as I've told you before. We'd like to talk to you again sometime. Thank you, Dr. Brett DeLone from Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, general surgeon. I'm Howie Carr.
They call him the Trash Man, but we'll call him Captain Howie Carr.
Hi, this is John in the People's Republic of Amherst, Massachusetts.
This is Heather from Litchfield, Maine.
This is Camp, Wichita, Kansas, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
You've been hearing me talk about Super Beets for a while now, and I'm sure some of you are still thinking, why Super Beets? You can take it from me. The benefits of Super Beets are incredible. You may be worried about your health, and your mental health may be suffering as well, listening to this these depressing headlines throughout the day and the anchors trying to get you down and warn you of doom and gloom. But there's one way to feel good about your body, feel and give yourself a boost physically and mentally, and that's Super Beets. If that doesn't convince you, we can talk about the science behind Super Beets. I'm holding up the jar right now for social media. Beets have nitrates. Nitrates support better blood flow. Better blood flow equals better energy and efficiency throughout your body and supports healthy blood pressure. But Super Beets does so much more than eating regular beets and is unparalleled compared to other beet powders. Just take a small spoonful, put it in some water, stir it up, and drink it twice a day, once before breakfast, once in the afternoon, and you will get an immediate boost of energy. It's good for you, and it makes you feel better. Just one scoop of Super Beets has the nitric oxide equivalent of three whole beets, and the science team behind Super Beets has conducted 11 clinical trials and was even given the Science Award by the Nutrition Business Journal. This level of research is unheard of in the nutrition category. These are just some of the reasons why I love Super Beets and why it's worked for me and for Taylor and for Grace.
I'm having Super Beets right now.
Really? I had some before the show, Grace.
And I decided, again, Howie, to mix it into my water today. And I have to say, I've been taking it straight up, which I love, but it's delicious mixed with a little water.
It is. It's very nice.
I've got a pep in my step.
That's good. Before you have your coffee, or after, but I prefer it before I have my coffee. And you won't need as much coffee. You'll only need 3 or 4 cups rather than 5 cups that I like to have. To try Superbeats risk-free for 90 days, visit www.superbeatsradio.com/Howie and get a free 30-day supply, free shipping, and free nitric oxide strips to test your nitric oxide levels with your first purchase. www.superbeatsradio.com/Howie. www.superbeatsradio.com/Howie. Jason, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm calling from the good old state of Maine. I drive truck, and I just want to say real quickly, I want to thank you. I want to thank Rush Limbaugh, and I want to wish him well. And I also want to thank Sean Hannity. I called a couple weeks ago about Pennsylvania shutting down the rest areas. The word spread quickly. They did open up some rest areas. That's a good thing. My point real quick, it's a lot of contradiction going on about this whole self-quarantine. What's contradicting is I have a girlfriend that works at a retail location, okay, Walmart.
Yeah.
There's millions of people. I see a lot of people going to Walmart with their kids because everybody's forced to keep the kids home. Then,
right.
You know, they touch an item on the shelf. So that's kind of contradicting. Then you got all these warehouses that are in the center hub of Pennsylvania. And I know because I pick up and deliver and bring freight all around. And all these warehouses, if anybody's been in Pennsylvania, they're huge. How many people do they employ to keep the food chain going, right?
Right.
So how are they being self-quarantined and say self 6 feet apart when they're required to be back and forth?
I know. I thought the same thing. I mean, look at Amazon, Walmart, now even Pizza Hut. They're hiring tens of thousands of people, right? I mean, I don't understand how much good, you know, taking a napkin and using it to open a door with, or I just don't understand that. I want to take the physician's advice, Jason, but I'm skeptical, aren't you?
I'm really skeptical, and here's the thing, and like I said, I got to be clear about how I say this. I'm obviously not a doctor, but when I heard that interview with the doctor, and I'm not taking any credibility away from anybody, but what's contradicting is what are the numbers coming out of Pennsylvania for testing? And the other thing is the apartment complexes in New York, you're forced, if anybody's ever been in an apartment building, one person gets a cough, right. Everybody gets infected with a cough.
Right, right. Look at those giant project, like in the Bronx, you know, when you're driving on the Cross Bronx Expressway. I mean, I think probably tens of thousands, if not 100,000 people live in some of those apartment buildings. Yeah, you're right. I don't know how you could prevent an infection from going around there. Thanks for the call, Jason. Bill from West Hartford. Go ahead, Bill.
Yes, Howie, I regret to inform you and your listening audience that I've tested positive for the COVID-19 disease. I'm asymptomatic. I do not have any symptoms. I've sheltered in place in my apartment. I've been taking pill after pill after pill after pill. I'd have no more pills left, no more fortified wine. I'm here with my kitty cat, Toby. I'm crawling up the walls. I think I got it from one of the hookers downtown Hartford.
I gave him a chance. Now there's another casualty in Connecticut, in West Hartford. The welfare liability of the Nutmeg State has gone down. I'm Howie Carr.